Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, September the 22nd, amid the rise of global tensions and rhetoric threatening the use of nuclear weapons, the Holy See reaffirms its support for the UN Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Arms. Iranian authorities attempt to silence rising protests against restrictive government policies. And Pope Francis says the corporate world has a role to play in tackling global crises. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. As global tensions and the rhetoric of nuclear war is on the rise, the Vatican Secretary of State reaffirmed the Holy See's support for a comprehensive ban on nuclear weapons and tests. As Sophie Peters reports, Cardinal Parolin also encouraged all states to take action to restore contaminated areas and assist victims of radioactive nuclear testings.
At a time in which nuclear rhetoric and the threat of nuclear war is on the rise, Cardinal Parolin reiterated the Holy See's firm stance against nuclear armaments and nuclear tests. The Vatican Secretary of State also called for attention for contaminated environments and assistance for those who have suffered due to radioactivity released by nuclear testing, which, he said, has a disproportionate impact on women, girls, and the unborn, and has contaminated environments across the world. Speaking on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly's annual session in New York, at a high-level meeting of the Friends of the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, the Cardinal said that 26 years after it was opened for signature, the treaty remains a vital component of the nuclear disarmament regime. The framework was launched in 2002 to build momentum toward the early entry into force of the UN treaty, which bans countries from carrying out all types of nuclear explosive tests. For the pact to come into effect, it must be signed and ratified by all 44 countries that had nuclear reactors for research or power generation when the treaty was under negotiation, but 8 of them have yet to do so. Calling upon all states to maintain adherence to the zero-yield moratorium, Cardinal Parolin deplored any resumption of testing, especially at a time when global tensions rise and we hear rhetoric threatening the use of nuclear weapons, expressing hope for the promotion and strengthening of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. He concluded with a call to remember those who have been affected by radioactivity released by nuclear testing and the contamination of the environment. I'm Sophie Peters.
Meanwhile, Russia has begun implementing plans to call up reservists to fight in Ukraine after suffering massive setbacks. But Stefan Boss reports that President Putin's order to mobilize 300,000 more Russians with military experience has sparked violent overnight protests on Wednesday.
They risk lengthy prison terms or being sent to the deadly front lines of Ukraine. Yet, in defiance of strict regulations, these people dare to shout what many Russians seem to think these days: no to war, no to war, and no to mobilization. Aggressive riot police push protesters, women and men, to the ground or against a window. Many are taken as cattle into awaiting buses, facing an uncertain future. Up to 1,400 anti-mobilization protesters are reported to have been detained in dozens of cities, including here in Moscow. However, demonstrators say they won't give up their struggle. I am not afraid. I am not afraid of anything, this mother says, while nearby riot police detain protesters like her. The most valuable thing they can take from us is our children's lives. I won't give them my child's life. Another young woman suggests that the rallies come too late. We should have been afraid before. The worst already happened, she says. The woman refers to the tens of thousands of Russian soldiers believed to have been killed or wounded in Ukraine, though the Kremlin gives lower figures. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov has not denied media reports that some demonstrators were already given draft papers. With as many as 300,000 reservists forced to join the Russian invasion of Ukraine, many are trying to leave Russia. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Authorities in Iran have shut down the internet in Tehran and Kurdistan in response to a rising protest movement that has relied on social media to document dissent. Nathan Morley tells us more.
The protests, which were sparked on the 16th of September after the death of a 22-year-old Kurdish woman who was being held in police detention, currently shows no sign of abating. Earlier, demonstrators had set police stations alight as well as torching vehicles. As angry crowds tossed stones at security forces, reports from the country suggested that authorities had deployed tear gas and made arrests to disband the gatherings. It's also reported that 8 people have died in the unrest, 6 men, 1 woman and a child, with 4 being targeted by security forces at very close range. The instability comes as anti-government protests spilled online, with videos of women burning their hijabs being shared on global websites. The anger centres on the fate of Mahsa Amini. She was arrested last week for supposedly wearing a hijab headscarf in a so-called improper fashion. Campaigners say she suffered a deadly blow to the head, a claim denied by officials who have launched an inquiry. Police continue to argue that she died of natural causes, but her family believe that she was exposed to beating and torture. Her death and arrest came amid a government clampdown on women's rights. Last month, Iran's hardline president signed a ruling which expanded penalties for women posting anti-hijab content onto the internet. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Sri Lanka's President Ranil Wickremesinghe held talks with foreign diplomats on debt restructuring and the International Monetary Fund programme. A statement released by the nation's government on Thursday comes in the wake of reports that show that consumer inflation in Sri Lanka accelerated to 70.2% in August as the nation reels under its worst economic crisis in decades. The crisis, caused by economic and political mismanagement and the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, has left Sri Lanka struggling to pay for essential imports, including food, fuel, fertilizer and medicine. The country earlier this month reached a preliminary deal with the International Monetary Fund for a loan of about $2.9 billion. The first day of the Economy of Francesco is well underway in the central Italian town of Assisi, with hundreds of young economists and entrepreneurs filling the town as they work together to propose new economic models for a better and fairer world. Francesca Merlo is in Assisi for the three-day event, lasting until Saturday when Pope Francis will attend. She spoke to some of those attending.
A successful day one here in Assisi, where the young people attending the Economy of Francesco opened the three-day event with music, before delving deep into sessions, panels and roundtable discussions to present their ideas and projects with regards to bettering the world's economies. The only just war is the one we are not fighting. This was the title of the first roundtable discussion held on Thursday, and is also the reason why, according to Jean Fabre, who worked for many years for the United Nations Development Programme as an advisor on social and solidarity economics, we need this generation to fight the war that his was not able to.
I cannot die until I have fixed the wrongs of my generation. My generation was the first one in the entire history of humankind that had the capacity and the means to end poverty and hunger. We didn't do it.
Representing 120 countries, the young people here in Assisi proved that the problem, although with different realities, is relevant all around the world, no matter the continent, no matter the language. The Economy of Francesco brings out their vibrancy and determination to better humankind. In the spotlight at the moment are the tragedies surrounding the world, and in a particular way in Ukraine, where a war has been raging for 7 months. Olena Komisarenko is from Ukraine and works on humanitarian corridors bringing migrants from Afghanistan to Italy.
It's the tension of everyday worry if you still have your family members. So, I mean, being in Rome, it seems safe and fine, but on the other hand, every single day I still need to be checking if I still have a mother. So, if I still have a family, do they have enough for their living? I mean, like, and how can I help from my being in European country? So what's the contribution I can make? It's every single day worry, and it's huge stress for my family.
But the excitement is yet to come as the work continues and ideas develop, until Saturday, when Pope Francis will travel to Assisi and hear the witnesses of some of those who have traveled so far to be here. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Meanwhile, Pope Francis told the World of Business on Thursday that it can help counter crises. Speaking to a large delegation of consultants from the Big Four international accounting and services firm Deloitte Global, the Pope spoke of the role of the corporate world and encouraged the firm's professionals to be integral consultants committed to promoting the well-being of all people. Deborah Castellano-Luboff reports.
Pope Francis says business has the power and experience to help tackle crises worldwide, including the pandemic and war, as well as to help suffering people. The Holy Father made these observations when addressing a delegation from Deloitte Global. Deloitte is one of the so-called Big Four accounting firms worldwide. The Holy Father thanked them for their visit and their work before turning his attention to the numerous challenges plaguing the world and suggesting three ways they can promote a more humane, just, and fraternal world. The first, the Pope said, is always to remain aware that you can leave a mark. This mark, he highlighted, ought to always be a positive one aimed at advancing integral human development. You are well aware of your power, the Pope said, noting this should be accompanied constantly by the desire to direct your analysis and proposals toward choices consistent with the paradigm of integral ecology. A good question to ask yourselves, the Pope said, when evaluating what is and what is not effective, would be, what kind of world do we wish to leave our children and grandchildren? The Pope's second suggestion was for the executives to take up and fulfill their cultural responsibility, which also stems, he noted, from their wealth of intelligence and connections. The Holy Father's third suggestion was to also enhance diversity. Over the past 15 years, the Pope said, the world has experienced severe and continuing crises. What can, he asked, professional consultants do in this difficult and uncertain situation? The Pope said they can do a great deal, especially by organizing their analyses and proposals with an integral perspective and vision. Today's consultants, aware of their role, he said, are called to propose and discuss new directions for new challenges. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
And finally, also this morning in the Vatican, Pope Francis received members of the Premonstratensian Order and told them missionary spirit is born out of love. The audience came marking the 900th anniversary of the foundation of the order. During his discourse, Pope Francis encouraged members to reflect on the history of their community and look towards the future, living their lives as missionaries in fraternal coexistence, rooted in the Eucharist and the Gospel. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can also follow us on our web portal, on Facebook and on Twitter. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.